everybody needs information about the Green Bay Packers every day of the year from Jason Wilde. In fact, you just go to ESPN Wisconsin app and then you listen to everything he says. And it'll take some time, but you'll be Packer smart. Good evening, Jason.
Good evening, Steve. How are you?
I'm okay. How about yourself? How are you doing today?
Just okay.
Yeah, just okay.
Just okay.
Okay's fine. Okay, it's fine. Okay is underrated. What's wrong with okay?
I just want to make sure that you're. You always seem that like you're living the dream, or you're great, and instead you're just okay. So I just want to make sure you're truly okay.
I'm definitely truly okay. Yes.
That's all I asked.
Had to do more furnace work today. That tired me out a little bit, but
Are you actually doing that?
No, I have a furnace guy.
Okay,
I'm
good.
I'm always there to assist him.
Is that what you call us?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're not annoying him?
No. I'm there to carry stuff, and my hope is that it quickens the process. So, you know, they charge by the hour, so the more I help, maybe he'll charge me a little less. That's my theory on it.
That's not a bad theory. You see, you're such a smart, cheapskate guy. I love it.
I got no problem with that. And then, you know, there are just these questions like, Jair, I like to know and be able to figure out what's going on, and I can't. So.
Yeah, well, he's not there to ask, right?
Right, well, but wait, we thought he was going to be there, or take us through just what you thought and now and what's going on and what.
Yeah, so I would start by saying that Xavier McKinney talked to us, and I thought he was very clear in the fact that everybody on the team wants him back. At the same time, he was also very clear that, you know, Jair has to decide what's best for him.
Let me interject for a second. Did that give you the idea, as I have stated, because I'll admit I'm wrong, that part of the issue is whether or not he wants to come back, or is it?
Yeah, no, I think so. Again, I have not talked to Jair, so I cannot say this with certainty.
Yeah,
I don't think the stumbling block is the issue of whether or not he wants to come back to the Packers or is comfortable being with the Packers again. Like, he likes Halfley, he likes Derek Ansley, he likes Ryan Downard, the three coaches he deals with the most. He loves McKinney. He loves Keyshawn Nixon. He gets along great with Carrington Valentine. If he is still bothered by, you know, kind of the frustration that LaFleur let on about his lack of availability and the feeling in the building, as reported by multiple outlets, that there was frustration and questions about whether or not he was capable or willing to play through injury, and is he holding a grudge on that? Maybe. I can't speak to that. But I think this really comes down to money and respect. And I don't know what the Packers' offer is that's on the table, as Matt Schneidman of The Athletic reported. He didn't report what the offer was either, obviously. But this is a guy with a $16.15 million base salary that if his contract remained untouched and he was still on the roster, he would be guaranteed that salary after being on the roster for the opening week. He's a vested veteran. And so what I would presume to be the stumbling block here and the reason why, whether it's Matt or Rob Domofsky or anyone else who's reported on this, has hedged, is the fact that if Jair Alexander thinks too much of that $16.15 million is being shifted from this is what you're going to get to this is how much of that you will get if you stay healthy and play every week, and we're going to take, you know, I've said this before, but let's say with the $16 million, let's say they're going to say, all right, we're going to make your base salary $6 million. And then you'll be guaranteed that when you're on the roster on the opening week. And then we're going to take the other $10 million and we're going to divide it by 17 weeks, right? Because there's 17 games, and every week that you are active, you will get 1/17 of that amount. So if that is, let's see, 10 million divided by 17 is 588, is that right? $588,000. It is $588,000 a week. So if he plays all 17 weeks, he would recoup all $10 million of that. But what are the odds of him doing that?
Not good.
Probably not great. So what he's trying to do is have more of that money be in the base salary and less of it be predicated on if he stays healthy. So if he feels like that's either not enough money financially or disrespectful, the amount that it is that would be in weekly roster bonus money, or they could structure it other ways too, right? Like they could put some of it in roster bonus mm-hmm. every week and some of it into if you're chosen for the Pro Bowl, you earn $1 million of it back, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know how it's structured, but if he feels like that's disrespectful, maybe there's part of him that's like, well, then I'll just, you know, I'm not going to, if I get roughly the same amount and I get a fresh start somewhere else, maybe that's better. But, you know, I've seen the reporting that he wants to come back. I don't know that for certain from him, but it seems to me that the stumbling block is just how much does he have to give up and then try to re-earn back.
Now, in all the time we've discussed this, I'm not. If I'm tired, I'm no. I think I'm good enough. I'm at 16 million. They release him past June 1st. They save money on the cap, which you've told us many times really doesn't mean anything in their situation. But
they still got to pay it. Like they still are going to have that dead cap money. It's just
correct.
Spread over 2 years instead of hitting now, and then in the future. But yes,
so they release me, and now I'll go somewhere else. Somebody will.
Yeah, they're not going to. He's not. Look, he's not getting $16 million
right,
from anybody.
But he knows that. So they'll work out another deal, right? I mean, once he's released, no team is bound by any contract, are they?
Well, certainly teams are not bound by contracts because they cut guys all the time.
No, right? But I mean the new team. Like, I don't
no,
know.
No, he would have a friend. If they cut him, it is they start from scratch.
Yeah. I mean, I just walk yep. in. I'm Jair. You either pay me or cut me. This is easy. What am I missing?
Well, because I think he's smart enough, and his agent is smart enough to know that there is a point where maybe getting a little bit less than and they have no idea, right? They don't know what the market would bear. They can try and do research on it, but until someone actually says, "Yeah, we'd sign you if you got cut." And we would pay you $10 million guaranteed this year until somebody actually tells them that they don't know. He could have, it's a gamble.
Yes.
So, you know, if I'm the thing that I would say, and I'm not saying I'm wired the same as Jair, but if I've been working out with McKinney all the time and he's my friend and I love being around this team, and yeah, it would have been nice if Matt LaFleur would have been more publicly supportive, but I really like the scheme. I think it's good for me. I had my first pick six since high school. I like the way Hapley talks to me. I like the respect I get. This is a pretty good situation.
All right.
Then I would say, you know, then choose to stay and then try to stay healthy.
But they got
to
give me enough that I couldn't do better somewhere else.
Correct. That's the $16.15 million question right there. But look, there's we also talked to Jaden Reed today, and Jaden Reed basically said, yeah, you know, Drew Rosenhaus, his new agent, told him he was going to call the Packers and check in on, kind of where he stood. And that was planned before the draft, but he didn't call until after the draft. And he claims that even if he gets only two targets, he's fine with that. He used the word misinterpreted, that the meeting was not about his role on the team. He claimed that it was his agent's idea to make that call. Now, again, he can say all these things because he's not – Jaden Reed's a really smart dude. Like, he's smart enough to know that this didn't look good. And so, yeah, that's what agents are for. They're there to be the bad
guy. Well,
and they're
plus, people would have told him, you get Drew Rosenhaus, it comes with some baggage in the way he kind of does things. None of us were surprised by what he did. If Reed was surprised, then that's on him, because then he didn't do his homework.
Yeah, but at the same, you know, he said, I'm not the type to care about targets. I really don't care about them, reading from our transcript. I could have two targets. If we win, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I look at things. Now, look, I admire that. I know, I'm sure he wants that to be true. Yeah, then he said, I'm a very unselfish person. When anybody falls, I try to be the first person around to pick them up. I try to pick up players when they've got their head down. So, yeah, that's just the kind of player I am. I believe that he is that type of player. I don't believe that when he gets two targets. What about when you get two targets and you lose? If we win, I don't care. Okay, well, what about when you lose? Also, I think it's important to point out, as I said directly to Jaden, yeah, but when you get more targets and you're more involved in the offense is better. And he said, no doubt. And it's true. So here's the thing that bothers me. This was viewed, and I know, you know, Chewy had his line about sounding like babies. I don't think it's unreasonable to want clarification on what your role is. Like, I don't have a problem with him wanting to know that, whether he did it on his own or whether Drew Rosenhaus did it at his behest or did it without him knowing about it. I don't care. Like, the fact that Rosenhaus put it out there through Adam Schefter, he miscalculated what the reaction was going to be. A lot of people didn't take it as a positive thing. I'm not saying it's a positive thing. I think it's a reasonable thing. But the bottom line is, the guy's led them in receiving each of the last 2 years, but during the second half of last season, he had like 11 catches and no touchdowns in the last like five games. And then he suffered a dislocated shoulder that took 5 months to heal and included a partially torn labrum. So like in the playoff game. So like I don't have a problem with Jaden Reed having a little bit of selfishness. I want guys that want the damn ball. I don't want them to be jerks to their teammates about it. But if you're really satisfied with two targets when you lose and you're just mad about losing, I don't know about that. It's great that you said, I could have two targets, and if we win, I don't care. That's great. But I still think if you guys go on a four-game winning streak and you have two targets in each of those four games, I don't believe you that you're fine.
I agree totally. And the answer everybody wants is, I got to get more open. I got to get open.
Right. What I love about players, and this is, I mean, I get made fun of it, but one of the great things about being around these guys are the ones that get, like, I thought Jordan Love was fantastic. Like,
That was my next question about his injury. Did he talk about the effect on his play last year?
He did some, but just to finish my thought on Reed, like I want guys to say, and this is what I talk about with the girls all the time, control what you can control. It's such a cliche that I've heard for the last 30 years, but it's a cliche because it's absolutely true, right? Like, you can't control who they drafted. You can't control whether Malik Willis has to start some games and he's not as good as Jordan Love. You can't control if Jordan Love sails a ball on you. You can control how many balls you dropped. You can control how open you get.
Yeah.
You can control how prepared you are with the playbook, and you can control your effort. And I don't think Jaden Reed has a problem with doing any of those things. So had he asked me, which he didn't, that's what I would have said. I said, look, I am unselfish. If we win, that's the most important thing. But the most important thing individually is I have to do everything I can do to make sure that I'm open more, that I catch the ball when it's thrown to me. And if I do that, I don't give a blank who's lining up alongside me or who they drafted. Because when I'm doing that, I'm a really damn good football player.
Talking with Jason Woody. All right, now to the quarterback and his assessment of injuries last year and how it affected his play.
So he said what you would want him to say, right? Which is basically, yeah, look, it wasn't ideal, and it probably affected me, but I'm I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to use it as an excuse. Like, you know, again, I understand that there's this perception about me because of Rodgers that I'm Rodgers guy. But one of the things that, and you and I have talked about this many times before, one of the things that I like about Jordan Love that I would tell Aaron Rodgers to his face, it would have been nice if he did more often, is he doesn't make excuses and he doesn't blame anybody but himself. And I think that, you know, in this instance, when he was talking about the injuries, I thought it was really worthwhile that he basically said, look, man, like, I still need to play better. Like, if I'm out there, I'm going to be judged on how I play regardless. You know, he acknowledged that maybe there were some things like his accuracy that were affected by the injury. And I think that's fair, right? Because footwork is a crucial piece of your accuracy. And if you're not stepping into the ball onto your throws and you're basically, like, think about it as basketball, right? Like, if you're using Ray Allen's jump shot form consistently, you're going to shoot the ball really well. If you're doing crazy fadeaways and that's not fundamentally sound, you're not going to make as many shots. And so in his case, I really do think that it affected him some. But the bottom line is that, and this was what I thought was great, was when I asked him about what he needs to do, what more do you need to do to be better? I love the fact that immediately he talked about, you know, the fact that they're here to go to a Super Bowl and he needs to play at a higher level. And I said, look, I don't want to compare it to the other guy. That's not fair to you, but meaning Rodgers, but he won a Super Bowl in his third year as a starter. And I thought, you know, his answer of, you know, it's not about me comparing myself to him, but at the same time, that is the goal. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. I'm definitely trying to be that guy to be able to take this team and lead them to that. I think when you talk about Aaron and what he did in his third year, I never try to compare because that's so hard to do. There's many different situations going on. But at the end of the day, I've been here going on year six, going on my third year playing. Everything is right there in front of us for this and for this team. So I think that's him embracing the fact that, yeah, you don't have to say, oh, Rodgers went to a Super Bowl in his third year as a starter, so should you. He already expects that, and he demands that.
And you're thinking, why doesn't every player get it like he gets it, right?
Yeah, like, in fairness, like, you know, and I've said this to him, like, after Ronica came and talked to Sydney's volleyball team, she is just personality personified. And that is not who Jordan Love is. And they're going to get married and live happily ever after. And maybe that's what makes them work, is that they're different people, right? One is bubbly and outgoing. And I mean, she actually joked about how she tries to rub off on him so he's better with the media, right? But he's not always, he's not super engaging. He's not funny. He's not telling jokes, you know. But I thought that that was really honest, insightful self-evaluation and understanding what the goal is. And I, you know, dare I say I was proud of him for having that answer.
All right, I do have one question. I have something on Twitter that says, quote, I would say we won more games than we did the year before, so that's why I ask people, what is this step back? He can't. No, you can't say that. You can't be that far off.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the impetus behind that question was. That was the question that was asked immediately after my Super
Bowl
question.
But he should
question.
Never answer that question like that.
Yeah,
or anything.
I'm not expecting perfection from him on answers. But yeah, they didn't. If I'd have been standing there, because I walked away to talk to Josh Jacobs, who had walked in. If I'd have been standing there, I would have said, you took a step back and you didn't go as far in the postseason.
Yes.
And your offense looked like garbage in the playoff game against the Super Bowl winners. Like, that to me is a step back. So, but again, that's look, this is not journalism 101, and I'm not here to criticize how other people do the job, because Lord knows they can criticize how I do my job. But
of all the things Jordan Love needs to know. No, of all the things Jordan Love needs to know, and I would assume he already knew, the regular season, when you're a good team and a good organization, is the preseason. The only season that matters is the postseason. To me, that's as basic as knowing you have to put shoes on and a helmet on before you go out on the field. I am, just like I'm incapable of him throwing that interception the first year, I am incapable of him answering anything, any question regarding a season as that, which he said. There's no question in which that's the answer.
Yeah, I wasn't there. I don't want to sound Speaker Johnson.
No,
stuff,
you can't. You can't say that. No one on the team can say that.
Yeah, I don't like that answer either. I'll put it that way.
Somehow I'll find a way to blame LaFleur. All right, thanks, Jason.
Yes, you will. All right, Thad, it's Tim Van Boren for me. It's nice to spend my day with him. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
He'll have an answer for it. All right. No, you can't. I would say we won more games than we did the year before, so that's why I asked people, what is a step back? Now, maybe you would think, if you'd answer it, we were just unlucky that we had to play Philly in the first game, and they were the best team. But, excuse me, your state, your teams, your ESPN, the brand-new ESPN Wisconsin app. Used to be Wisconsin On Demand. Now it's ESPN Wisconsin app. Customizable. Homepage, easier and quicker live listening. Your shows at the touch of a fingertip. The ESPN Wisconsin app available on Apple and Android app stores. Your state, your teams, your ESPN. Download the ESPN Wisconsin app today. Now, Tim Van Voren is not next, but very soon.